while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
We live in uncertain times. There's uncertainty all around us, isn't there? Uncertainty about money, uncertainty about jobs, uncertainty about what's going to happen tomorrow, uncertainty about how much we're paying for our rent. Is the mortgage going to go up? Uncertainty. Interest rates. Mortgage prices are going up. Costs are, they're going up and down. Uncertainty. Well, that's if you've got a place that you can call home. Even if you're sharing with someone, even if you're a lodger, uncertainty about the bills, uncertainty. And what about the stuff that's going on in the political sphere? How many people have, a guarantee in the political sphere? This is election year. When I say election year, it's not just in the UK. How many of us can truly and competently say, we know who is going to lead us into the peace and prosperity that we want in this nation or even in the world? Yeah, we're going to the polls in the UK. The US is going to the polls. India is going to the polls. There are many other countries having elections this year. Mexico, Rwanda, Iceland, Ghana. That's later on in the year. Croatia, Tunisia, Venezuela, Namibia, Romania, Panama, Chad, Dominican Republic, Algeria, all going to elections for a president or a prime minister, a leader of government this year. That's the political stage. What about global security? With the number of wars, rumors of wars, the stuff that's emerging and escalating. And we cannot live in a bubble as if these things don't exist. We say, it's okay. Iran's bombing Israel. Israel's bombing. I don't live in Tel Aviv. I'm okay. That's the same attitude we had in December 2019 when they were talking about a virus that they found in China. Oh, well, it's the Chinese problem. Remember, I stood here and I said, there's no such thing. It's a global village. It's a global village. The events over the last 10 days, Iran's firing missiles at Israel. Israel's firing missiles at Iran. And honestly, we were getting very, very close to another world war with all sorts of escalating tensions. It could have been. And there are conflict zones right across the world. If I say, how many countries are at war? Name a country at war. Of course, you'll mention Ukraine. Of course, you'll mention Palestine. Of course. But then you've also got Colombia, Afghanistan, Somalia, Syria, Yemen. These are countries and many others that are in conflict right across the world. Right now, there's an average of 20,000 people every month who die as a direct result of war. Every month, 20,000 people across the world, on average. Some months it's higher than that, some a little bit lower. Who knows how all of this stuff is going to play out? Who really knows? So today and next Sunday, I'm going to be bringing a message that you could argue is a heart's cry. It's a heart's cry. It's a message that we need to hear as we navigate the uncertainty of this world. The sermon is in two parts. So please note, it's not two different sermons. It's just first half, second half, like a football match. Yeah? Football match. Yeah, okay. I didn't think about that before. I like that. I'm good, right? Can you imagine? Nobody said yes. I liked it. It's okay. My desire through these sermons, this week and next week, is that somebody will get a plan. Somebody will see their way out. Somebody will see a blueprint, to build. The Bible tells us that God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our paths. My prayer for you is that you will actually be able to see that your journey will be illuminated by the word of God. And you will walk without stumbling. I pray that you will have the eyes and ears of faith to trust God for this journey. So recognize, I said, it's a personal message. I trust there's going to be something in it for you. So I've titled the sermons, Give Me a Plan, Today's subtitle is Recognizing the Situation. I want to encourage you, if you've got a Bible, please get your Bible. You might need it. I think the media team might put it on screen as well. But have your Bible. You might want to mark it for those of you who like to take notes or mark. And those of you who are joining on screen or on radio, the text for today, and those of us here can see it, the text is from 2 Kings 5. Verses 1 to 14, 2 Kings 5, 1 to 14. I don't do this with every message, but I'm going to do it with this one. Because I'm going to be saying lots and lots of different things and giving information that's relevant, I want to encourage you, go to the website, go to the PHBC website, get the radio app, download the radio app, and I want to encourage you to go and listen again to the stuff I'm going to say today. Listen again. You're not going to remember everything, so go back and listen again. While you're opening your Bibles or scrolling in your app, I want to tell you a short story. I didn't write the story. I read it somewhere. I found it online or I saw it on YouTube or somewhere. I don't know. And it's called The Rosebud Story. And The Rosebud Story is a simple story. It's about this pastor. He's a young pastor, new in terms of ministry. And he's walking with, along in a garden with a more seasoned, more experienced, older pastor, someone who's been in ministry for a lot longer than he. And he was feeling a little bit unsure, feeling a little bit insecure about God's calling. You know, Lord, I don't know, what does pastoral ministry look like? What am I doing, etc.? Looking for counsel and advice. And the older preacher walked up to a rose bush and he cut one of the, a half-opened flower. So it wasn't fully opened. He cut this bud open and he gave it to the younger preacher. He said, I want you to open all these rose petals without damaging any of them. So it was half opened. He said, I want you to open them fully without damaging the flower in any way whatsoever. The younger guy looked at the older guy. He was like, I don't understand. What's this got to do with what I'm trying to say? I'm looking for advice. Tell me what to do. Tell me how to do it. But then, of course, out of respect, he started trying to unfold the rose as he had been instructed. And every time he did one, it would break. He was trying to keep them undamaged. The petal would break. This one would crease. The other one would fold. It wasn't long before he realized, he said, this is impossible. I can't do this. And when the older pastor realized or saw that this guy had come to the end of himself, he recited a poem, and I want to recite the poem. It says, it is only a tiny rosebud, a flower of God's design, but I cannot unfold the petals with these clumsy hands of mine. The secret of unfolding flowers is not known to such as I, for God opens these flowers so easily, but in my hands, they will die. You see, I wanted to tell you this story because I'm sure, first of all, God has allowed every single one of us to have experiences. You've come along your journey. Thank God for Ellie. Today is her birthday, by the way. Yeah, it's not just this week. It's today. Isn't that right? Yeah, it's today. Yeah, so give her a proper handshake and a high five and a hug. I'll just transfer some money to her account, yeah? I wanted to tell you, God has allowed us all to acquire knowledge, sense, intelligence, experience, wisdom for our journey. And we bring those things to our journey in life. He has allowed you to gain your own knowledge, your own understanding. And unless you yield those things to Him, there's a probability, there's a higher possibility, you're going to get something wrong. It's about yielding it to God. And for this reason, we really need to be doing things not on our own, doing things not in our own way, you know, but yielding them to God. So it's not just about our plan, it's about God's plan, which is why we have the title of the sermons. Let me see a show of hands. If your life is going exactly as you wish it to go, 100%, there's nothing going wrong, let me see your hand in the air. When you did that, I thought you were about to raise your hand up. Absolutely nothing going wrong in your hand, in your life, at all, nothing at all. Let me see your hand in the air. Okay. Now, let me ask this question. How many people here, let me see your hand in the air, don't be shy. If you say you want God to be your navigator, let me see your hand in the air. Okay. Not everybody raised their hand. Some people don't need God to be their navigator. That's fine. So we're in agreement. You know, it's true. I asked for hands up. You didn't raise your hand. You know who you are. So you've already made a statement. So we're in agreement. We need a plan, right? We need a plan. In order to be successful, we need. There are people here in business. There are people here in jobs. You cannot be successful without a plan. In one way, one shape, or one form, you need a plan. And a plan is essential to any success story. How do we define a plan? I went and did a little bit of research. I said, okay, God, give me a plan. But what is a plan? And I love this definition. A plan is a scheme, a program, or a method worked out beforehand for the accomplishment of an objective. A scheme, a program, a method worked out beforehand for the accomplishment of an objective. Listen, a plan is not just about doing and doing and doing. A plan isn't just about thinking and wishing and hoping and telling and talking. Having a to-do list is not a plan. It's a to-do list. It's a bunch of tasks. The plan doesn't just get you moving because a to-do list can. But a plan takes you, gets you moving to your destination. So there's, and listen, talking about move, there is a difference between movement and achievement. Remember that phrase. There is a difference between movement and achievement. I can get in my car right now, and I can drive for 50 miles straight and still be outside the church. Is that possible? Somebody said no. Let me tell you how it's possible. There's a roundabout just there. If I keep going around that roundabout, I will have driven 50 miles and I will have gone nowhere. Don't believe that lie. Just because you drove 50 miles doesn't mean you went somewhere. Don't let the enemy lie to you, saints. There's a difference between movement and achievement. Planning is an important, a critical part of our lives. And it doesn't matter what your age, your gender, your financial status, your social status, your education achievement, your financial liquidity. None of these make any difference. You need a plan. We all need a plan. We plan our journeys. You planned. When you walked out of your house today, you knew where you were going. You were coming here. Those of you who are joining service online, when you clicked that link, you had an expectation. There was a plan. We do financial planning. You know, a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, you know, we had somebody here, our brother Emmanuel, praise God for Emmanuel, who came and shared of his own experience and his wisdom. And we all were able to draw from that and help to understand finances in the way some of us need to go back and listen to that stuff. You know, financial plan. And you might think, okay, well, that sort of financial planning isn't for me. Yes, you still financially plan. You don't just walk into Tesco or Asda or Morrison's and buy anything for any cost. There's a plan. I want to buy bread. You don't drive all the way to central London, go to Harrods Food Hall to buy your bread. You go to Londis or Co-op or the corner shop next to you. Yeah, you make a plan. Because driving to central London, oh, somebody's pointing at somebody who probably goes to Harrods to buy their loaf of bread. I mean, you know, the journey to buy the bread costs 10 times more than the bread. But you make a plan. They're career planning, business planning, town planning, family planning, contingency planning. You know, after I said it, I was like, ooh. We make a plan. We need plans. You know, earlier on, we talked about the Lord calling our sisters, Veronica and Anna Maria, home to himself. Right now, both of those families are planning. They're planning funerals, how to lay their loved ones to rest. So how do we plan? Why should we plan? A plan says, what will I do? That's it. A plan says, what will I do? In fact, what will I do what will I do? When will I do it? That's what a plan answers. What will I do? When will I do it? And it's very difficult to talk about a plan without talking about time. And a plan is often, usually, the best plans are connected to time. They're connected to time. So I want to give you some sayings that I really like. There's a man called Alan Lakin, and he said this phrase. He says, planning is bringing the future into the present so you can do something about it right now. A plan is when you bring the future into the present so you start doing something about it. One of the things I often say is your time is your life. Nobody wastes my time. It's a misnomer. You waste my life because 5 minutes of my time is 5 minutes of my life. I can't get it back. If I'm wasting 10 minutes of your time, I've just wasted 10 minutes of your life. Time is life. Life is time in that regard. Yeah. If you plan to fail, then you... No, if you fail to plan... Yeah, we know that one. How about the five P's? Proper preparation prevents poor performance. Ooh, sorry. You only say those sort of things. You got to have tissue nearby, right? Or poor planning produces poor performance. So we know it's important to plan. The world teaches us, tells us planning is critical. And I'm sure most of us want to have a plan. However, sometimes things don't go according to plan. Sometimes they don't go according to plan because the plan is wrong. That's the truth. So let's get to our text. It's the same text we use this week and next week, and I'm not going to go too long into it. Let's go to our text. I'm going to read out a few highlights from some of the verses from our text in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. I want to think of, let's look at verse 1. We start with verse 1, right? So if you look in your Bibles, verse 1 talks about this guy Naaman. Let's understand some things about Naaman. Number 1 was a general. He wasn't some small boy, recruit, you know, petty officer, just showed up. This man was a general. He was a leader over many. He had a track record of success. You don't join the army as a general. It's actually impossible, no matter what, you know, officer training you had. You can go to Sandhurst all you want. You don't come out as a general. He had paid the price for where he was in his military career. He had done that. He was a general, so he was respected. They probably even feared him. It's not like, you know, these days where they got employment tribunals, equality laws. Back in those days, the general said, jump. You don't say how high. I just said, jump. You're standing there asking me questions. Jump, dude. This guy was probably feared. And the Bible says he was a mighty warrior. The New King James, the older version, says he was a mighty man of valor. So he wasn't afraid of a good fight. My kind of guy. He wasn't afraid of a good fight. It's like you and Witch Army. Come on, play the music, let's dance. You know? But guess what? He suffered from leprosy. He was a leper. And in that culture, in that society, he was unclean. He was untouchable. He was unwanted. He was disabled. He wasn't just disabled. He was rejected. He was unloved. He was lonely. He was isolated. He was on his own. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt less than? Have you ever felt less like no one is there for you? Like you're struggling on your own. You're fighting on your own. Who's going to understand? We're approaching the fourth month of this year. You know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to drop into the fifth month of the year. When we move into May, what's it going to be like for you? New month, same problems? What's it going to be like? Well, if that's you, this sermon is for you. Remember the phrase, God, give me a plan. Yes? God, give me a plan. Let's look at verse 3. Verse 3, one day the girl, and this girl is a slave. This woman was a slave to Naaman's wife. And she had a conversation with her mistress who told Naaman, you know, let me say this to you. You are one conversation away from your breakthrough. Oh, some people didn't catch that. I will say it again, and I need you to understand. You are one conversation away from your breakthrough. Many years ago, I used to run my own company. It was a digital media company. I started building websites in 1998. And back in 2006, I went to the business show in Excel. I was trying it. I was hustling. I was building websites for this one and that one and the other. All my friends had websites. You know, I'm not even kidding. John had a website. George had a website. Julian had a website. Janet had a website. Georgina had a website. Hey, do you need a website? No? Great. I'm building one for you. You know, I just built websites for everybody. And then I started my business. 2002. 2006, I'm walking through London's Excel, and I'm with my friend, Paul. And Paul is a graphic designer. He doesn't know squat about websites. IT, the guy couldn't even spell IT. It was like that, you know? But he was a great, talented designer. So we're walking through the business show. He comes upon his friend. Hi, how you doing? His friend from secondary school. They hadn't seen each other for years and years and years. Oh my goodness, what are you up to now? He says, oh, you know, I do graphic design and what is this? Oh, graphic design. He says, yeah, and I do websites as well. And I was like, you do websites as well? Since that's new to me. I've known you like 10 years. When did you start doing? He says, yeah, this is my business partner. You know, and we do stuff together. You know, we run the company. So I was just like, yeah. So he says all these things to her, no problems, you know, and he says, yeah, you know, let me give you my card. He gives her a business card, and he says, yeah, it doesn't matter what the project, we can handle it. She goes, really? He says, yeah, fine, no problem. We go, well, why were we at the business show? Goodie bags, right? It's true. Come on, don't tell me you haven't done. You go to those exhibitions, the freebies, the pens, the notepads, you know, the squeegee balls or whatever they're called. And every once in a while, there'll be something really nice, you know. And if it's IT, that's really nice. Or Barclays Bank, they got nice stuff. Yeah. Now everybody's thinking, oh, when's the next business show? And that was that. 3 weeks later, I get a call from Paul. Paul, what happened? So there's an opportunity that might be coming our way to build a website. I said, okay, that sounds good, but can I just clarify? When you say our way, I want to understand what's going on. When you say our, who is the our? Whose way is this opportunity coming? He says, well, you know, do you remember my friend I bumped into at the business show? I said, I don't remember I remember you bumped into somebody. He says, well, she knows someone who works for Croydon Council, right? This man's name is Paul, and he works for Croydon Council, and they're good friends. And one day, Paul was having a casual conversation with her, telling her, oh yeah, you know, for the department that I run, you know, we're looking for a company to build a new website for us. You know, we're just going to put some stuff out to tender. And she says, oh, I have someone I can recommend to you. And he says, really? Is it just like someone? No. He knows what he's talking about. So she says, his name is Paul. He's a web designer. I mean, Paul, like I said, you know. Anyway, so she called Paul. Paul, can you do the website? Paul said, let me get back to you. So he calls me. Bruv, can we do the website? I said, the website isn't my concern. I don't know who we is. Anyways, long story short, we go through this tender process. We bid for it. I secured the contract. It was a four-figure sum. It was a big sum. My first big website project. And Croydon Council became a client. I built a number of websites for Croydon Council. From one conversation, I say again, you are one conversation away from your breakthrough. And through that contract with Croydon Council, I moved out of the house. When I signed the contract with Croydon Council, I showed up at this meeting. There's a whole bunch of them there. I'm doing PowerPoint. I'm saying we. Paul's looking at me and say, oh, now you're saying we. Yeah. And we will this and we will that and we will this. But all the time I'm saying we and we, the office was in my living room. When I signed the contract and their first check landed in my hand, I went to go find me some offices. And that was when I started taking employees on from that contract. You're one conversation away from your breakthrough, I say. Look at verse 5. After he'd said, oh, go and do this, and Naaman went to his boss, the king of Syria, and the king of Syria was like, yeah, no problem. You know, we this can happen. We can make this happen, yes? So the king of Syria says, listen, go. Yeah, I'm going to send a letter to the king of Israel, you know, because this stuff, remember, the slave girl had said, there's somebody in Israel that can help you. There's a contact. She had name dropped the prophet that might be able to help you. So he says, I know. I'll write to the boss of all their bosses. I'll write to the king. He says, you know, I'm going to do this. And so take some gifts with you. So he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. This one says 750 pounds of silver. I don't know pounds. I don't know. You know, it's not. By the way, it's pounds weight, not pounds cash, right? Yeah, but the 10 talents of silver, this 750 pounds of weight, I worked it out. I went online. I went to the silver, whatever it is, trading thingy bob. You, those of you who trade that stuff, you know what I'm talking about. That comes to about 350 kilos. And at a price of 576 pounds per kilo, it's over 200 grand's worth of silver that he carried that day. 6,000 shekels of gold is 80 kilos of gold. And at today's prices of 51,000 pounds per kilo is over 4.1 million pounds of gold that was sent to the king of Israel. I mean, and of course, if you look at the text, it says there was some Gucci in there, some Prada, Armani, Pierre Balmain, you know, Louis Vuitton, some Chanel. It was all in there, thrown in to match the bling. Not too shabby, right? Not too shabby. He says, take this, take this, take it to his boss. Sweeten the deal for his boss. And then it backfired. If you look at verse 6, it totally, gloriously backfired. When he said, you know, this is my servant. I want you to heal him from his leprosy. Verse 7. And the king of Israel said, this guy sends a leper to me to heal him. This guy's trying to pick a fight. He wants me to shoot some missiles into his territory. This guy, you want to get me into trouble with God? Who do you think I am? I can't heal somebody. You're telling me to heal somebody. You're telling me to stand in the place of God or God's servant. He's looking for an excuse to pick a fight, to invade us again. That's what he said. The plan backfired. The king of Assam tried to do it his... Assam or Aram? Aram. Tried to do it his way. He wanted to do it his own way. He says, I'm a king. When I ask a king for a favor, I don't go empty-handed. I go in with gifts. I go in with gifts. He tried it his own way, using his own sense, his own experience, his own intelligence. And it backfired. I want to pause here today. We'll pick it up again next week. But I want us in this moment to examine our own lives, our own journey. What are you facing and what have you done about it? Where did the ideas you're using to deal with what you're facing, where did those ideas come from? Where? Maybe like the king of Aram, you to have brought your intelligence, your experience, your knowledge. You brought your background. I know what to do. I'll do dot, dot, dot. I know how to do it. I'll do it this way. You know, you recognize that God didn't create you empty-headed. You know, love the Lord your God with all your strength and your heart and your soul and your mind. So you brought your mind to the table. Lord, I'm going to use my sense to worship you. I'm going to just try and figure some of this out myself. You're not just sitting around doing nothing. So you've decided to act. You've decided to do something. Remember the phrase. Please put the on screen. Remember the phrase, God, give me a plan. Do you remember that? God, give me a plan. Maybe you identified someone that you think could be a blessing to you. Someone you think can help you. Maybe you reached out to them. Maybe you connected with them. Maybe you did what you knew to do. It didn't work out. Maybe you called the person that needed to call. You emailed the person that you should have emailed. Maybe you sent that WhatsApp message and it even went blue. You used Telegram. You DM'd them on Instagram. No results to show. Remember the phrase, God, give me a plan. The Lord does not leave you high and dry. Those of you who were here at the end of 2022, you'll remember the crossover service, the watch night service, where I came and I talked about my fears. I talked about my stress levels, my anxiety levels, if you will, leading up to the end of the year, and how God had said to me, trust me, trust me. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, he used those words, and it's on YouTube. December 31st, 2022, go on the YouTube channel. You hear me talk about it. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Sometimes you should acknowledge him when it suits you, when you feel like it. And if you want to give him, you submit to him, that's okay. That's what it says in the text, right? Some people are nodding. Some people are thinking about lunch. That's not what it says. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Listen, in all your ways, acknowledge him doesn't mean only acknowledge him. You know, let's say, for example, you have a financial problem and you're trying to acknowledge God. You say, in all your ways, acknowledge him. You acknowledge him in your finances, but at work, you behave like someone that has no discipline. That's not all your ways. All your ways means every aspect of your life. Acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. All doesn't mean some. It doesn't mean most. It means all. I love what it says in the easy to read version. It says, trust the Lord completely and don't depend on your own knowledge. With every step you take, think about what he wants and he will help you go the right way. Saints, that night, 2022, I confessed it here and I said, I had to let go. I had to trust God, and I had to trust God completely. And today we see the fruit of that trust in our ministry. We see the fruit of that trust serving today. Maybe you're like I was when I was in that season, struggling to trust God. Maybe you see God's perceived absence or silence or distance. Well, I want to assure you He's here, and He's here for you. And as you yield yourself to Him, as you relinquish your will to Him, yield your will in submission to His will, I pray that you will be and become more of the person that He has created you to be, in Jesus' name. Remember the phrase, God, give me a plan.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.